Hurricanes have one, I think, significant advantage over the Florida Panthers. One, can it be significant enough to overcome whatever disadvantages Carolina has, whether it's in net between Sergei Bobrovsky and Frederik Andersen, or if it's up front with scoring power like Matthew Tkachuk? But I think Carolina's forecheck can and must take advantage of Florida's back end, who's very good. Montour's had a great season. Forsling is very good, obviously. Aaron Ekblad's elite. But after their top three, it's not quite the same. That's where Carolina must take advantage. EJ Raddick, NHL Network, joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. EJ will have to be on the TV in less than 90 minutes because NHL Network has NHL Now at 4 o'clock today and every day throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. Feel free to use that when you get on set today at 4 o'clock.
I will. And I think it's a very fair point. Although, I don't know if you saw the way that Ratko Gudas was flying up the ice in overtime of Game 5 with a tremendous rush and then a little bit of a net front drive. And then, of course, he grabbed the stick of Yarncroc.
Whatever you can do.
That helped. Exactly. Listen, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And if the refs don't call it, they don't call it. I mean, it was clearly could have been called as a penalty. But, as you know, in overtime of these games, people are always looking for an edge. And got to give Ratko Gudas a lot of credit. He did make a hell of a play. I mean, coming back to break up a play and then rushing up the ice, he got it to Cousins. And then he took that net drive, that middle ice drive there that created a vacuum. It was just like you would run a drill. You would tell a guy to do that. So, he's been really good. And you're right, though. I mean, that scenario, when I've looked at the Florida Panthers all year, I wasn't so sure that their D was going to hold up. And it didn't for large stretches of the season. But down the stretch, they kind of figured it out. And Brandon Montour has been just the beast back there. And Ekblad is kind of finding his way again. And Forsling is a really good skater that doesn't get enough attention for the kind of consistent play that he brings night after night. So, some of those guys at the top end are good players, and some of the guys at the bottom end, you got to work them. I mean, simple as that.
Yeah, you mentioned Ratko Gudas. He's had a dynamite playoffs, and he's a physical, edgy player, and that's, I think, is that fair to say that Florida has to play with a little bit more nastiness to maybe impact the series the way they want?
I think that's who they are. They like chaos. They like physical play. Matthew Tkachuk likes to mix it up. Sam Bennett certainly likes to mix it up. Gudas will deliver a pretty nasty blow, as we've seen from time to time. Yeah, I think that's who they are, and I think they do have to play with that edge. And I think, conversely, I think the Carolina Hurricanes just have to play the same hard game and fast game that they always play. And if they can stick to that and not get drawn into some kind of chaotic back and forth, that will behoove them and give them a better chance to win the series.
It was funny. The last game of the regular season, EJ Raddick from NHL Network is joining us here. He'll be on TV at 4 o'clock, so you might want to rush home. Hurricanes and Panthers played last game of the regular season with ramifications. Both teams needed the win.
Yeah.
Carolina wanted to win the division because they couldn't count on Washington beating New Jersey, and Washington didn't, so Carolina needed the win. And Florida, at the time, theoretically, was trying to avoid playing the Bruins in the first round because if they lost that game, they were going to end up playing the Bruins. And in the there were two different games. The first game, the Hurricanes controlled. It was low scoring. It was tight checking. It was 2-0. And then the third period hit, and it was though they were playing yakety sax in the background.
Uh-huh.
It became a complete, just a total gong show. 8 goals were scored in the third period.
Yeah.
Carolina was good enough. What do you make of Florida's ability to play any type of game?
Well, I think they like to play that second game way more than the first game. I just think Florida likes to do that. That's kind of, they were that way last year even, and they had a different team and a group of different players, but they had that, remember last year, they had that amazing ability to come from behind in games. We've seen that characteristic again in the first round against Boston and in the second round even against Toronto. They were more low-scoring games against Toronto, but they were able to rally if they were down in games and find a way back into them. So you know, they've got something going right now. And, you know, that's, like I said, I dubbed them last year, kind of Team Chaos. They like chaos. They don't mind being behind. They just keep playing. And, you know, the thing they have going for them now in those situations is that Sergei Bobrovsky has really regained the form that he showed in winning two Vezina trophies. And so they can get into a little bit of a game like that, and Bobrovsky can bail them out, and that allows them to kind of benefit from that exchange. So I think that'll be the thing for Carolina, is to get to Bobrovsky, to get into his kitchen, to make his life miserable, and to, you know, to put a dent into his armor right now, because he is playing very, very well. He was excellent against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No question about it. EJ Raddick is with us for a couple more minutes. The funny thing is that when Bobrovsky left the Columbus Blue Jackets, and he was part of the team that shocked the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round, that sweep in the first round of the playoffs before losing to Boston back in 2019. That was the first year of this five-year run for Carolina. Bobrovsky left for the big contract, the $10 million a year deal with the Florida Panthers. 5 years later, he's just now, for the first time, or 4 years later, has become that $10 million a year goalie. So it's been there. He just hasn't been able to kind of harness it and keep it consistent. Does the layoff hurt either team here? I mean, basically the same layoff. Florida's had one less day off and travel. But does the layoff of really a week, does it hamper either team?
I don't think so, because they're both in the same boat, right? I mean, you said it. I mean, I think, what was it? Carolina won last Thursday, Florida won last Friday. So they've both been in the same boat. I tend to think that the layoff probably helps Florida in that they had two pretty intense series against, you know, original six franchises. And that first series against Boston, they went right into the second series against Toronto. I think those few days off might help them, you know, moving forward because of the game they play. You could also say on the flip side, they were just in such a nice routine. To be out of that routine maybe hurts them. But I do think there's a lot of bumps and bruises there, and that probably helps to kind of get them ready for the next round. And, you know, for Carolina, the extra days, you know, you get Teravainen back in the lineup. So that's a good thing. And, you know, Carolina Hurricanes have been through this now for the last several seasons. They got a really good team. They're really well coached. I mean, I think they'll be ready to play tonight.
I agree with you. All right, EJ Raddick, before we have to say goodbye, make sense of this for some. I figure I've got a pretty good handle on it. But we have Vegas as the northernmost team still standing by about 70 miles in the NHL's Final Four. Vegas and Dallas, Carolina and Florida. Do we have to teach people in the North about hockey?
Maybe. you know, although Vegas now part of the Great White North, apparently. But, I mean, it's all cyclical in sports. I mean, there's 32 teams. It's really, really, really hard to win. And, you know, right now it's played out this way. I mean, you know, in other years or in the future, it'll play out in a different manner maybe. But it's, you know, it's great to see. It's great to see different markets have opportunities to get into a, you know, have a great playoff run and get to the conference final. I mean, I think I go back to Carolina in 2002 and that run to the Cup final. I'm sure that helps solidify that franchise. And then winning in 2006. I mean, those were events that, like, in places where hockey is something relatively new and on the, you know, at the elite level, you know, you need to have teams that are competitive, and that's why Vegas and Seattle coming in as expansion franchises in this new era of expansion, where the teams had an opportunity to select good players, not just, you know, the minor league cast-offs of franchises.
Yes.
You know, it allowed for those teams to really become impactful in their markets and to have strong franchises. I mean, Seattle in the second year having the run they had, Vegas obviously in the year one going to the Cup Finals. So, you know, I think those things are important. So it's great for, you know, a Florida Panthers franchise that has had a lot of, you know, rough years over the last bunch to have this kind of opportunity right now. And, you know, Dallas and Vegas were in the Cup Final within the last 6 or 7 years, and Carolina has been a really good team for the last several years. So it's good to see, and it is. I mean, I'm sure it's uncomfortable for those north of the border who want to see one of the Canadian teams in the finals or to win a cup, but that's just, you know, it's hard. There's 32 teams now, and, you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and the amount of pressure that they have to deal with in Toronto, the external pressure in Toronto and Edmonton,
yeah,
it absolutely has to matter. EJ, I appreciate it. Maybe we'll see you down here in a couple of weeks.
I hope so. That'll be wonderful. I always enjoy my visits to Raleigh. I had a great time at the Stadium Series. So yeah, if things go the Canes' way, you'll be seeing me down there, and it'll be good to see you in person.
I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, EJ. Take care.
Take care, Adam.
You got it. All right. Before we're gonna get out of here, obviously in about 10 minutes, we're gonna hear from Steve Mayer from the NHL in a second. It's kind of a joke, and I don't really think that there's anything to it other than it's kind of, I don't know, funny, cute, hysterical that Vegas is the northernmost team. And think about Vegas. In 6 years in the NHL, 6 years? Yeah, 6 years in the NHL. Conference finals 4 times. I mean, wow, right? Carolina, under Rod Brind'Amour, hadn't been in the playoffs 9 previous years. Now, 5 straight trips, 3 division titles in a row, Pandemic Central, back-to-back Metros, and have always won at least one round of the playoffs. Bubble was kind of weird because there was an extra round of the playoffs, so they lost in the quarterfinals that year. But they have been super successful in the regular season and pretty successful in the postseason. And they become the hunted. The betting favorites, all of that, it's kind of cool. It really is all interesting. And Florida, who, again, was the best team in the NHL a year ago during the regular season, didn't have playoff success, struggled for the first half of the regular season, was very good in the second half of the regular season, and have been great in the postseason. Florida hasn't been to the conference finals since 1996, when they went to the Stanley Cup finals that year and lost. So we have great stories. Dallas has not had a ton of playoff success. They were the finalist in the bubble when they lost to Tampa Bay in the Stanley Cup finals. But other than that, they haven't really had a lot of playoff success. But they're good. We got so many great teams. Doesn't matter where you are anymore. It just doesn't matter where you are anymore.